Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WPHD HD WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now,
this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
May 11th, Wildwood, New Jersey. President Donald Trump returns to Wildwood in triumphant fashion alongside his great friend, Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And it's an honor to welcome back to the show my great friend, Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Hello, Congressman. How are you?
I am well, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. First of all, I want to say thank you for your no vote on Ukraine funding.
Well, you know what? And I'd love, if I have a moment, I'd love to talk about that just a little bit.
Absolutely.
So I have nothing against the Ukrainian people. You know, they're good people. There is some corruption there, but that's not the issue here. The issue is especially important because of the way that the legislation was done. Now, I had amendments that would have been in that bill that would have required our borders to be buttoned up and closed at the same time, to make sure that we stopped catch and release, to make sure that we reinstituted something like Title 42, that we had the proper technology, that we immediately expedited to the country of origin to make our country safe. We can't keep our borders open. Beside that, I had about 5 amendments to this bill. The other one was, before we send money over there, we need a full blast audit of where over the $120 billion that we've spent there, where is it gone? What's it gone for? How is it spent? That needs to be done. We also need to ensure, which was another amendment, that we're not spending money on people's, when I say people, I mean bureaucrats over there, on their salaries, on their wage increases, on pensions, or anything else. That shouldn't be done. the way the bill is currently constructed, that can happen, and that's wrong. Another amendment was to ensure that Europe ponied up and gave money as well. Now, some countries like Poland have done a decent job bringing their money forward, but other ones have not. And, you know, it's very close to them. It should be very important to them. And yet the United States has to foot the entire bill. You know what, Rich? People are tired. They're paying more in rent. They're paying more in mortgages. They're paying more for their interest rates. They're paying more for their gas. They're paying more for their electric. They're paying more for their taxes. They're tired, man. They're working hard. And we're spending money all over the world. Now, I voted for Israel. They've been a good ally that's been with us throughout the years, and we have a special relationship with them. And I feel for the people of Ukraine. I'm not saying we should just let them go by the wayside, but I maintain the same principles that President Trump does on this, that we need to know other people are engaged. And importantly, very importantly, we need to know that our money is not going down the drain.
Yeah, and I'm glad you tried to fight for those amendments, Congressman Van Drew. And I don't understand why the Republicans gave away the store here, no leverage, and not getting anything for the border. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, it is, and you know, I'm concerned about Ukraine's borders, no doubt about it. And I'm not just an isolationist. I know Mitch McConnell said isolationism is coming to an end, and that was an example of it. No, but I'm somebody that cares about the United States of America, number one. And our borders have to be under control. We have tens of thousands of Chinese nationals. We don't know where they're going, what they're doing, what they're about. We've got people on the terror watch list. We've caught hundreds of them. But guess what? There's many more that have also gotten in. We don't know where they are or what they're doing. We have people that are utilizing our resources. Immigration is a good thing when it is legal immigration. Some of the best Americans, the best citizens we have, are people that came from other countries and appreciate and love the United States of America. They love freedom. They love hard work. They love personal responsibility. That's good stuff. That's what America is made of. It's a melting pot. This is not that kind of immigration. Many of these people coming over are already on the dole. They're already getting government subsidies for housing. They're getting help with food. They're getting help with travel. They're getting help with lodging. They're getting bank cards where they can actually spend up to $1,000 every month. I can't believe it. So it's wrong, and it hurts our Americans. We've got to take care of America. So that's what I believe. I was disappointed in it. It's done now. And let me say this. I'm disappointed in the FISA bill as well. We should not be spying on Americans without a warrant. Americans deserve that freedom. It's what men and women in the United States of America have died for and fought for. And to give that away is awful. We could still have national security. Don't believe the folks that try to scare you. It would have only to have warrants and make sure that it was warranted to go into somebody's personal lives, their homes, their families, their businesses. To have a warrant for that is not wrong. It wouldn't have required tens of thousands of judges. It wouldn't have affected our national security. It would have only affected 1.58% of the cases out there. But here's the deal. We were promised this last time they renewed FISA, allowing agents to spy on American citizens. And guess what? It was abused, not hundreds of times, not thousands of times, but rich millions of times. Right. And what happened was people were investigating their husbands, wives, family members, girlfriends, boyfriends, people that were conservative, people that were libertarian, people that were very religious, people that had different viewpoints. It's all wrong. So I was against that as well.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Congressman Van Drew, and I agree with you 100%, everything you just said, and I appreciate your fight on that. You know, I had President Trump on my show Monday, and we talked about the FISA bill, and I found it, you know, outrageous that they're telling us at the same time, we've got to be worried about Chinese cybersecurity threats, and that's the reason why we can't allow warrants against American citizens. At the very same time, you've got all these able-bodied Chinese men walking across across the border. I think the numbers that I saw, if I'm not mistaken, it's, they said nearly 25,000 Chinese nationals have crossed the U.S. border in just the last 6 months. That's a 37,000% increase in 3 years. And yet, as that's happening and nothing's being done on the border, they get to spy on us without a warrant, because they've also spied on members of Congress without warrants. And it's just so infuriating to me.
Rich, this is the telltale sign that the bill's not good. And I forgot to mention it, and I'm glad you brought that up about members of Congress. Guess what Congress did when they passed this bill? I voted no, obviously. They exempted themselves.
Mm.
If the bill was so good, why did you, and what it says in the bill, that if it's a member of Congress, they have to be notified through the committee chairs, et cetera, et cetera. Why would you exempt members of Congress if there was nothing to worry about? If there's nothing to worry about, we should be, under the same regulations that everybody else is in the country. Evidently not. So I'm disappointed in that. I will say this as well, though, and this is where I'm on the same page with President Trump. Right now, Rich, we've got to concentrate on one thing, one word, winning. We've
yes.
got to win a more robust majority in the House. We have to win the Senate. We have to get President Trump in the White House, in the presidency. When we do that, we can look at everything we're doing. But right now, we cannot remove the speaker. It would be a sideshow. It would be a distraction. It would be the focus of the mainstream media rather than the failures of the Biden administration. It's just not the thing to do right now. We can deal with this after we win. But if we are just sidestepping and not blasting our way right to victory, we're not going to make it. So I'm about all, that's all I'm about, winning, number one. That's it.
I agree with you. And unfortunately, I don't see a pathway for anybody else to get that job without empowering the Democrats. So, I mean, we're stuck here. And you're right. We got to keep our focus on November. And to that end, Congressman Van Drew, it was an honor to see you in Atlanta County recently. And you received the Ronald Reagan Award for your great service to the district, to the state of New Jersey, to our country. It was an honor to be there with you. It's an honor to have you on the show. And I know how much you mean to President Trump, and that's why he's coming back to Wildwood, New Jersey. New Jersey's not exactly a swing state, but he's coming to Wildwood again to do a rally with you on May 11th. So tell us about that.
Oh, it's exciting. We're going to relive the magic. We did this about 5 years ago. It was amazing. To date, it is still not the most that we're able to get in the convention center, because Wildwood Convention Center could only hold, 7,000-8,000 people, something like that. But it was the most ticket requests ever for any rally that President Trump ever had. He probably mentioned that to you. It's amazing. He remembers it. He's not giving up on New Jersey, and neither have I. It's hard. There's no doubt about it. But, we are going to work at it. We're going to try to do everything we know how to do. And I'm really hopeful that people in the state of New Jersey finally have had enough. I know he's going to win South Jersey. What's great about having it in Wildwood is we're going to have it on what is one of the largest, if not the largest, widest beach on the east coast of the United States. We're going to be able to fit in tens of thousands of people, which invigorates the president. He loves it. He's going to have a good time there. We're going to have a good time. I'll tell you what else is good about this, Rich. Not only is it good for New Jersey because it's an honor, and you're right, President, New Jersey is usually taken for granted. The Republicans usually think we don't have a chance, and the Democrats think, oh, we've got it. We don't have to do anything there. That's unfortunate. And that's what happens when, we have these Democratic control for all these years. But nevertheless, President Trump's not taking that for granted. He's going to fight for New Jersey. I am too. And also Pennsylvania. The good part of this is there are millions of people from Pennsylvania who come to the Jersey Shore. Some of them have homes, apartments, condos down here. It's their second home to a lot of people from PA, and they're going to be here as well. So it's also going to help the effort in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, without question. And we'll get the Pennsylvania media coverage of it. And there'll be a lot of Pennsylvania voters who will be there as well, Congressman, no doubt about it. I know you got to run, but before I let you go, you've also been a tireless fighter to try to stop these wind turbines from happening. And I know that there's more projects now and that the National Oceanographic Administration now has given, you know, their blessing to this. Where does that stand, the fight to stop this from happening, which will definitely destroy the Jersey Shore and contribute to more dead whales and dolphins?
It's awful. Rich, I've seen very few projects in my days in public service. And, you know, as you know, I've been everything from a mayor to a county commissioner to a state assemblyman to a state senator. So I've seen a lot of stuff. And I see a lot of stuff in Congress. This project, there's nothing good about these wind turbines. Real quickly, they hurt the fishermen. They're definitely going to interfere in what is the second or third biggest industry in the state of New Jersey, which is fishing. It's going to hurt tourism, obviously. It's going to hurt the environments, kill the whales, kill the dolphins. All of it's so terrible. It affects national security. There's real issues and concerns here from very respected individuals who are worried about radar and other issues. These aren't little windmills. These are wind turbines that are over 1,000 feet tall, over millions of miles of property in the ocean. They are going to be certainly detrimental to so many parts of our life. But here's the deal. They don't even lower utility rates. And in fact, instead of lowering utility rates, it increases utility rates by many fold. It's going to be very, very expensive. It's like everybody's looking at their electric bills right now and complaining about how much they've gone up, and they have, which is a whole other story, and I think that's wrong, too. It's nothing compared to what's going to happen. So even if you don't live at the shore, even if you don't care about the shore, even if you don't care about the environment, for God's sake, do you want your utility bills to go up 3, 4, 5 times as much? I don't think so. It's a bad project. They're inefficient. They don't work well, and we're totally against them. So we're going to fight the fight that we did against Orsted, against Atlantic Shores, wherever we can hold them up. I'm hoping there's going to be some lawsuits. We're going to have some more meetings. There'll be more rallies. We're not giving up on this. You saw in New York where some companies left New York now. So we're going to keep up the pressure. This is so important. This is a really big issue.
You're the best. I really appreciate the fight. You are a fighter, Jeff Van Drew, and we appreciate it. Congressman Jeff Van Drew, everybody, we'll see him in Wildwood. Get your tickets to join us for the rally on Saturday, May 11th, outside on the beach. Go to DonaldJTrump.com to get your tickets. What a historic day it's going to be. I look forward to seeing you there, Congressman.
I look forward to seeing you, Rich. Thank you for the good work you do, for the word that you get out there, and letting people know what's really going on.
Thanks, my friend.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right. Other things to chat about today. This guest essay in the New York Times, which is making a lot of people on the left very, very angry. It's like that idiot Keith Olbermann wants Stephen A. Smith to be canceled. He wants him to be fired because of his comments where he said a lot of black voters like Donald Trump. And now a lot of people on the left are angry that the New York Times dared to publish this piece. And it's an excellent piece. And there's also another piece that they have. It's a guest essay, Why Biden Has a Narrower Path to the Presidency Than Trump in 11 Maps. That's by Doug Sosnick. And it goes on to show how Biden's pathway to the presidency is much more narrow. I'll get to that, too. But this is really, really interesting, this piece that was written. Oh, and I also want to mention to you, WNBA star Angel Reese came out and officially said she was the 7th overall pick in the WNBA. The Chicago Sky selected her, and she's a former LSU national champion. She put out a simple post about women in sports on Monday. She said, protect young women in sports. Protect young women in sports. This happened right after, of course, the Biden administration announced that they were rewriting Title IX to allow dudes to compete against women in sports. She put that out there, and good for her for doing so. Bravo. Excellent. Well done. But this I wanted to share with you. It is an it's a great piece. The thing about this case against Alvin Bragg, and I've broken this down for you on multiple different ways of how this case is completely a joke. I've broken it down in a few different areas for you. But this guy who wrote this piece is named Jed Handelsman Sugarman. He's a law professor at Boston University. So I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I'm smarter than most lawyers, but obviously. I mean, that's what my friend Linda Kern says, but I'm not a lawyer. So when you hear Jonathan Turley and you hear guys like Andy McCarthy talk about this case, it's good. I mean, these guys have been in courtrooms. They've argued cases. They've also taught constitutional law. And I learned a lot from them, no doubt about it. This guy who's a law professor at Boston University, the headline of his piece is, "I thought the Bragg case against Trump was a legal embarrassment. Now I think it's a historic mistake." And he says, after listening to Monday's opening statement by prosecutors, I still think the Manhattan DA has made a historic mistake. Their vague allegation about a criminal, and I should mention to you as well, there's a Fox News has a headline that says, any moment now we're going to get a ruling on the judge over a gag order on former President Donald Trump. So that could happen any moment now. We'll keep our eyes on the TV for that. After listening to Monday's opening statement by prosecutors, I still think the Manhattan DA has made a historic mistake. Their vague allegation about a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election has me more concerned than ever about their unprecedented use of state law and their persistent avoidance of specifying an election crime or a valid theory of fraud. Mr. Trump is accused in the case of falsifying business records. Those are misdemeanor charges. To elevate it to a criminal case, Mr. Bragg and his team have pointed to potential violations of federal election law and state tax fraud. They also cite state election law, but state statutory definitions of public office seem to limit those statutes to state and local races. Both the misdemeanor and felony charges require that the defendant made the false record with intent to defraud. A year ago, the professor writes, I wondered how entirely internal business records could be the basis of any fraud if they are not shared with anyone outside the business. I suggested that the real fraud was Mr. Trump's filing an allegedly false report to the Federal Election Commission, and only federal prosecutors had jurisdiction over that filing. A recent conversation with Jeffrey Cohen, a friend, Boston College law professor and former prosecutor, made me think that the case could turn out to be more legitimate than I had originally thought. The reason has to do with those allegedly falsified business records. Most of them were entered in early 2017, generally before Mr. Trump filed his Federal Election Commission report that summer. Mr. Trump may have foreseen an investigation into his campaign leading to its financial records. He may have falsely recorded those internal records before the FEC filing as consciously part of the same fraud to create a consistent paper trail and to hide intent to violate federal election laws or defraud the FEC. In short, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up, he writes. But looking at the case in this way might address concerns about state jurisdiction. In this scenario, Mr. Trump arguably intended to deceive state investigators, too. State investigators could find these inconsistencies and alert federal agencies. Prosecutors could argue that New York state agencies have an interest in detecting conspiracies to defraud federal entities. They might also have a plausible answer to significant questions about whether New York state has jurisdiction or whether this stretch of a state business filing law is preempted by federal law. However, this explanation is a novel interpretation with many significant legal problems, and none of the Manhattan DA's filings or today's opening statement even hint at this approach. Instead of a theory of defrauding state regulators, Mr. Bragg has adopted a weak theory of election interference. And Justice Juan Merchan described the case in his summary of it during jury selection as an allegation of falsifying business records to conceal an agreement with others to unlawfully influence the 2016 election. As a reality check, it is legal for a candidate to pay for a non-disclosure agreement. Hush money may be unseemly, but it is legal. The election law scholar Richard Hassan rightly observed, calling it election interference actually cheapens the term and undermines the deadly serious charges in real election interference cases. In Monday's opening argument, the prosecutor, Matthew Colangelo, that's the guy from the Biden Justice Department, still evaded specifics about what was illegal about influencing an election. But then he claimed, and I quote, it was election fraud pure and simple. None of the relevant state or federal statutes refer to filing violations as fraud. Calling it election fraud is a legal and strategic mistake, the law professor writes. Exaggerating the case and setting up the jury with high expectations that the prosecutors cannot meet. The most accurate description of this criminal case is a federal campaign finance filing violation. Without a federal violation, which the state election statute is tethered to, Mr. Bragg cannot upgrade the misdemeanor counts into felonies. Moreover, it is unclear how this case would even fulfill the misdemeanor requirement of intent to defraud without the federal crime. In stretching jurisdiction and trying a federal crime in state court, the Manhattan DA is now pushing untested legal interpretations and applications. I see three red flags raising concern about selective prosecution upon appeal. First, I can find no previous case of any state prosecutor relying on the Federal Election Campaign Act, either as a direct crime or as a predicate crime. Whether state prosecutors have avoided doing so as a matter of law, norms, or lack of expertise, this novel attempt is a sign of overreach. Second, Mr. Trump's lawyers argue that the New York statute requires that the predicate, which is the underlying crime, must also be a New York crime, not a crime in another jurisdiction. The Manhattan DA responded with judicial precedents only about other criminal statutes, not the statute in this case. In the end, they could not cite a single judicial interpretation of this particular statute supporting their use of the statute. A plea deal and a single jury instruction do not count. Third red flag. No New York precedent has allowed an interpretation of defrauding the general public. Legal experts have noted that such a broad election interference theory is unprecedented, and a conviction based on it may not survive a state appeal. Now, the other reason here that he goes on to say about why this case is an embarrassment of prosecutorial ethics and selective prosecution is that 8 years after the alleged crime itself, it is reasonable to ask if this is more about Manhattan politics than New York law. This case should serve as a cautionary tale about broader prosecutorial abuses in America and promote bipartisan reforms of our very partisan prosecutorial system. He points out that another reason that a federal crime is wound up in state court is that President Biden's Justice Department bent over backward not to reopen this valid case or appoint a special counsel. The Biden administration's extra restraint deserves some credit, he says, but this is where I break from the professor. The fact that this guy comes from Biden's Department of Justice to then become the lead prosecutor on this local municipal case tells me that they want Trump in court. And had they kept it on the federal level, it would not be a criminal matter. See, this is where the professor gets this wrong. If it's dealing with strictly a federal campaign violation, those are civil matters. Campaigns pay fines. They don't have trials. The reason why I know that the Biden campaign is behind this, the reason why President Trump is correct to assume the Biden campaign is behind this, the White House is behind this, is because the lead prosecutor comes from the Department of Justice. If the feds had just simply hit the Trump campaign with a notice that they had to refile their campaign disclosure and add the Stormy Daniels hush money payment to it and pay a fine for not disclosing it on their original campaign form, that's exactly as far as it would go, period. Here's the other problem with the professor's theory about why the Biden Justice Department didn't pursue this and so Biden should get a round of applause. If the Biden Justice Department had pursued this, there would be no crime because Trump would not have had to file that on a federal election disclosure report until January of 2017. That's when that report would have been due, after Trump had been elected. So there's no issue of election interference because the payment would not have had to be disclosed on a campaign report if it had to be disclosed, and it doesn't have to be, but assuming that it does for sake of argument, until 2017, after Trump had won. See, here's what I think. I think they know this case is pure BS, but I think the Biden Department of Justice is in cahoots with Alvin Bragg to get Trump on the stand, to get him on trial, to get him in a courtroom, and to keep him off the campaign trail. They want to show the people that Donald Trump is a guy in court facing criminal charges. That's what they want. And unlike other cases, he's got to be in court because it's a criminal matter. If this had been handled on the federal level, it would be a civil matter, and his campaign would have paid a fine, and that would have been the end of it. What Alvin Bragg is doing here, which needs to be flatly rejected, is he's, yes, prosecutorial overreach, no question about it. Selective prosecution, absolutely. Prosecutorial abuse, you bet. But what he's doing here, in conjunction with the Biden Department of Justice, is putting Donald Trump in criminal court by arguing that what Trump did violates state law and federal law at the same time. He's able to go forward with a criminal case. He should not be able to. This case has no merit. But that's why the Biden Justice Department didn't pursue anything. There was nothing to pursue in a criminal matter. And the Federal Election Law Enforcement Commission, they're just a bunch of people who are appointed. Their job is just to make sure that the forms are filed correctly. There's nothing that requires non-disclosure agreements that don't have anything to do specifically with the campaign. In other words, i.e. a staffer, to be on a campaign report. Bottom line is this. This was, I believe, a coordinated effort by the Biden Department of Justice and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office to get Donald J. Trump in criminal court so that America could see him on trial and he would be off the playing field. Bottom line. Now, this is the happy hour brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I'm grateful for their wonderful support. And I'm excited that we're going to be there next Friday, Friday, May 3rd. It's going to be a great day. Live show. Live shows are always a blast. And I want to see you there. We're going to have a great time. So join us at the Grand Hotel of Cape May on Friday, May 3rd. And then Wildwood, May 11th. For Donald Trump's rally, it's going to be a great time as well. We'll have a lot of fun for that. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. And since the warm weather's here, and since summer's right around the corner, and since we're all going to be taking our shirts off at the pool and the beach, it's time for you to lose weight. And NJ Diet's there to help you without the shots, without the hormones, without the drugs, without all of it. NJDiet.com. You can lose the weight for good, guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days time with NJ Diet. NJ Diet is better than those shots. Listen, you don't want to take those shots. Those shots have been banned in Europe. A lot of countries will not even let people take them. I'm telling you, NJDiet.com is the way to go. It works faster than shots without the side effects. It is tailored to your biochemistry, your body, and that's why it works. And there's no prepackaged food to eat. You get the doctor's personal phone number, doctor's personal email. They are there for you every single step of the way. Just go to NJDiet.com or 855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET or NJDiet.com. You'll lose the weight for good. And there are locations close by in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Newark, Delaware, or live from home with online video consultations. So do it today. NJDiet.com and lose the weight for good.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The Zioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Alrighty, Wednesday, we are awaiting the judge's ruling about a gag order against Trump. The gag order is also ridiculous. The whole case is ridiculous. The gag order is ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. It's just completely unfair to do to a man running for president of the United States of America. It is just outrageous. But I got to tell you, when it comes to the absurdity of all this, it's not hurting Trump. I mean, that's the thing. It's not hurting him. Their strategy of trying to get him into a courtroom, it's not hurting him. And there is a narrow pathway for Joe Biden. Biden has a narrower pathway to the presidency than Trump does. This guy wrote this essay, and I looked at it, and there are seven states with close results that determined both the 2020 and the 2016 presidential election. Those same seven states are most likely going to determine it this time. Pennsylvania, obviously being one of them, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. And Mr. Biden's declining popularity in the Sun Belt states is the main reason that Mr. Trump has an edge right now. He is especially struggling, Biden is, with young and non-white voters. This is interesting. In 2020, Biden won 65% of Latino voters, who comprised roughly about a fifth of voters in Arizona and Nevada. And Biden won 87% of black voters, who made up 29% of the vote in Georgia, 23% of the vote in North Carolina. Now, support for Biden has dropped 18 points with black voters, 15 points with Latinos, and 14 points with younger voters. Now, they say abortion could be a decisive issue in Mr. Biden stemming this erosion of support in Arizona and Nevada because they have issues on the ballot in those two states. Nevertheless, though, he says, and this is why I've told you before, abortion is not going to be the issue that you've been told it is going into this election. The key to Biden's victory is to perform well in the three industrial states. If Trump is able to win one or more of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, Biden's pathway to 270 electoral votes becomes even narrower. This is why the former president will be on this program a lot going forward, because he has to win Pennsylvania. It's also why he's coming to Wildwood, because an event on the beach is going to grab great media, great attention, and it's going to be huge. It's going to be awesome. The rally on May 11th is going to be, it's going to be awesome. If Trump wins Pennsylvania, it's game, set, match. It's over. It's over. If he wins Pennsylvania and Michigan, I mean, and I think he's got, I think he wins both. I really do. I think he wins both. But the only, of all those states, Arizona and Nevada might be the only issue. Abortion might be the only issue there, because the Arizona Supreme Court's ruling that largely bans abortion raises the stakes of a ballot initiative that could be on the ballot in November. And there'll be a similar ballot measure that could be on the ballot in Nevada. But there's not going to be anything like that in Pennsylvania. There's not going to be anything like that on the ballot in Michigan. And there's not going to be anything like that in Wisconsin or Georgia or North Carolina. So even if Biden were to win Nevada and Arizona because of the abortion issue, Trump can still win all those other states. And he doesn't even have to win all those other states. And he still gets the 270 electoral votes. If Biden and Trump remain ahead in the states where they are currently running strongest, the outcome of the election could come down to who wins Michigan and Nevada and Arizona. Or if Michigan and Pennsylvania go to Trump, this means it's game, set, match. So let me give you a couple scenarios here. Voter history and recent polling suggests that Mr. Trump is in a strong position to win North Carolina. Republicans have carried the state in every presidential election since 1976, except in 2008. And in a recent poll, Trump has a very, very strong lead there. And if he wins North Carolina, he would have 235 electoral votes and two strong paths to get to the 270 he needs to become president. The first would involve winning Georgia, a state that he lost by fewer than 12,000 votes in 2020, which, of course, now is the reason why he is in court, because he made a phone call and said, I only need 12,000 votes. He didn't do anything wrong by saying that, but that's where that all stems from. Before then, Republicans won Georgia in every election since 1992. If Trump carries North Carolina and Georgia, he would have a base of 251 electoral votes, with four scenarios to get him the 270. Then all he needs is Pennsylvania. So let's think about this now. If I'm a betting man, I'm betting Trump easily wins North Carolina and Georgia. Easily. These are both two red states. These are two states that Donald Trump can win. Easily. I mean easily. So then all he needs is Pennsylvania, and he's the next president of the United States of America. That's it. Or Michigan. And Nevada. But you see why I tell you Pennsylvania is so important is that he could lose Nevada and Arizona and still win the presidency if he wins Pennsylvania. Because he's going to win Georgia and North Carolina. He's going to win. He's going to win those two states. So if you're one of the people that listen and send me notes and emails about how the abortion issue is going to be such an issue and Republicans can't win because of abortion, I'm telling you, you're wrong. I'm saying that it's possible Biden wins Nevada and Arizona because there'll be abortion. Abortion will be on the ballot in those two states. So it's possible that he wins. And also because we've seen corruption in Arizona's election, and Nevada's nuts in terms of how they pick people. So I'm not even thinking about Trump winning those two states, and I still have him winning the presidency. In Pennsylvania, the issues that matter to people go well above abortion. Abortion does not even rank. You remember there was a focus group recently of women on Meet the Press, and all these women said that they're all pro-choice, but for them, that was not the issue. The economy, that was the big issue for them. Price of everything, number one issue. And they all said they're going to vote for Trump. So that's his pathway. And then the other thing is he wins Michigan, which I think is a state that he can easily win. I really do. I think Michigan and Pennsylvania are very, very similar. In this scenario, but he doesn't even need to, because if he wins North Carolina, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, it's over. He's won the presidency. He's got 270 electoral votes. Pennsylvania is going to be everything in this case. He still has a pathway even if he loses Pennsylvania, though. But the problem for Joe Biden is that Joe Biden would need to win a number of states here to become president. The pathway for Biden, it's not good. He needs to win Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. He needs to win Michigan or Arizona and Nevada. If you look at the way this electoral map breaks out, if Biden loses Wisconsin and keeps Pennsylvania, he could still potentially win, but he'd also have to win Georgia and Arizona or Michigan and Georgia. In other words, this whole election is really going to come down to one state. It's Pennsylvania. Here's what I mean. I'm going to bet Biden picks up Arizona and Nevada. I'll write that off for Biden. I'm going to bet Trump wins North Carolina and Georgia. I'm going to bet Trump wins Michigan. I'm going to bet Biden wins Wisconsin, because Wisconsin typically votes for Democrats. So then it comes down to Pennsylvania. And I think Trump wins Pennsylvania. I do. I really do. I think he can win. That's the presidency right there. Now, obviously, there are a whole number of things that can go wrong between now and then. For example, there could be another pandemic. And here's the pandemic that I'm worried about. Ready what it is? You want to hear this? And this is just when you thought it was safe to start cuddling with deer again. Because who doesn't love cuddling with a nice furry deer? There is a new pandemic that could kill us all, and it involves deer. Matt DeSantis, why do you put these disturbing stories in my show sheets, huh?
I don't even remember putting that into the show sheet.
They say there's this zombie deer virus that could be fatal and kill all of us. Zombie deer virus disease with 100% fatality. Fatal zombie deer disease found in West Virginia, and it's possibly linked to a hunter's death. And they say it is more lethal than anything we've ever seen. And you could get it from eating infected venison. And now I'm thinking the next lockdown is going to come because of zombie deer disease. What do you think? Huh?
I'm not looking forward to zombie disease. That sounds unpleasant.
No more venison jerky for this guy.
Nope, cut it off. Or the FDA is coming out and saying there's evidence of bird flu virus in grocery store milk.
That concerns me. I do enjoy a nice glass of milk occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not eating much deer meat, if I'm being honest.
You should eat deer and drink it down with a nice glass of milk, and you'll be good.
No way. That sounds like a death sentence at this point.
Mm-hmm. New reports suggest two hunters could have died from zombie deer disease. This is how it starts. And it was found in the Carolinas. I just mentioned North Carolina. Well, that's where the zombie deer outbreak is happening. And North Carolina is a state Trump needs to win. It'll be the first state locked down because the North Carolina zombie deer issue. You see? And then they'll have everybody locked down again, mail-in balloting, and then that's what'll happen. Or maybe not. But I'm giving you the worst-case scenario. I figure if I give you the worst-case scenario, then nothing will go wrong, right?
So I can continue to drink my milk and eat my venison?
I think you're okay.
All right, good.
I think you eat your deer, and then you wash it down with a nice glass of milk, and then you're good.
All right, thank you. I was nervous for a second. I feel better.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I'm going to be
you'll
patient
be fine.
Zero. I just know it.
You're going to live. You're going to survive. But that is the big story of the day. It's brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. So isn't that cool that Pennsylvania is going to be all the rage? What about zombie voters, though, Matt DeSantis? What about zombie voters?
Well, people are making a big deal about the chunk of the Republican primary vote that Nikki Haley got yesterday in PA.
They are. But there's a story about that as well.
It may not be as bad as it sounds.
That's right. Why do we have so many zombie stories in today's show sheet?
I don't know. It's not even Halloween time. Makes no sense.
I know. It's the Walking Dead everywhere. In fact, a review of contested primaries since 2000 reveals that sizable shares of the electorate routinely choose someone other than the eventual nominee, even after all other serious contenders had dropped out. Why? Why is that? The zombie vote in presidential primaries. In 2020, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont withdrew from the Democrat primary on April 8th, leaving Joe Biden as the only serious candidate in the race. Still in the weeks and months that followed, Mr. Sanders received votes. In the Pennsylvania Democrat primary on June 2nd, 2020, for example, more than 20% of voters chose someone other than Mr. Biden, including 18% who selected Mr. Sanders. The zombie vote in this year's Republican primary has actually been low by historical standards. But nevertheless, people are making a big deal about the fact that what Nikki Haley got, what, 19% of the
16%.
Vote? 16%.
Trump's overall zombie vote is 19% right now. But
what is, how does that break out, though? How, his zombie vote, he's the nominee. I don't understand. What
so
do you mean?
The zombie vote for this election cycle. Trump's the nominee, but there's 19%.
It all in.
Yeah, there's 19% of the electorate that's still not voting for Donald Trump.
Based on this, but for Bush in 2000 it was higher, 21%.
It's been higher for basically everyone. Al Gore 22%, Biden in 2020 was 23%, John McCain in 2008 24%, Trump in 2016 26%, 2004 was John Kerry and his zombie vote was 27%, and Romney's was the highest in 2012 with 29%. So Trump is actually doing pretty well, actually better than anybody according to the New York Times statistics.
Well, there you go.
So no cause for panic.
I think people voted for zombies over John Kerry because he was so boring of a candidate. They literally wrote in zombies. Like that zombie vote against John Kerry, 27%, was literally people writing in zombie. And same thing with Al Gore in 2000 because Al Gore was so boring. They just wrote zombie.
It's hard to believe John Kerry could win any type of election. He's so unlikable.
John Kerry. And remember when he came to Philadelphia and he got a cheesesteak and he got lettuce, tomato, and mayo on it?
Swiss cheese, I
Swiss
believe.
Cheese, yeah. Too, right? Yeah. A hideous human being. He really is.
I feel like he had to put ketchup on it.
You think so?
Yeah, otherwise it's bad for business.
But did he put ketchup? I thought it was mayo. I thought I always heard it was mayonnaise.
Yeah, I don't
which
know
is disgusting.
I don't know if he actually did put ketchup on it, but I feel like he should have. That's the only reason he's ever been elected to anything.
Yeah.
Without that ketchup fortune.
Well, it's the Heinz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Heinz ketchup. He married a chick with money, basically.
Teresa Heinz.
I have a cheese story, too. We always like cheese stories. The other day it was about how packaged cheese, they're going to get rid of that in New York State because now the climate kooks are coming after that. They won't have cheese slices in plastic packaging. I'll get into how plastic packaging is not as bad as you need to worry about in the 6 o'clock hour. But according to a story from the Inquirer, there is going to be a 24/7 cheese vending machine in Kensington. So if you need cheese at 3 a.m. along with your fentanyl, you can go in Kensington and get your 24-hour cheese machine. What?
It seems like a weird place to place a vending machine filled with cheese.
Perrystead Dairy, 1639 North Hancock Street in Kensington. Step inside the booth and peruse the selection of Perrystead's own award-winning cheese. Plus, I can never say this word. Charcuterie? How do you say it?
Charcuterie,
thank you. Jams and crackers. That's just one of those words I just can't ever say. You know why? Because I didn't grow up saying it. I grew up calling it antipasto. Or, you know what I mean? Because it's basically what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, people start calling it charcuterie. I went, what? It's antipasto.
It's definitely a hipster term.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's just meat and cheese and crackers on a freaking plate is all it is. It just sounds, and they could charge you more if they go, would you like the charcuterie selection? Tap or insert your credit card to pay, no cash, then open the door to your chosen good, automat style. You can also get a cheese board as well, because nothing pairs with fentanyl like a nice Gouda, am I right? Like a nice smoked Gouda to go with your fentanyl in Kensington?
Sounds like a relaxing evening.
What else do you need? It's like that story about that person in Canada who got a penis and a vagina. Why would you ever leave the house? The same thing here. Why would you ever leave Kensington? You can get fentanyl and cheese 24/7.
I'm in favor of the cheese vending machine. I like it. I just don't know if I'd go to Kensington for it.
I understand. Maybe we'll do a Zioli Show road trip to go get some cheese out of a vending machine.
I'm in.
You're in?
I love a good cheese. Sign me up.
I love a good cheese.
And the novelty of the vending machine makes it even cooler.
On this, I agree. All right, listen, we are live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey on May 3rd. It's coming up, and it's going to be a great show, Friday, May 3rd. I want to see you there, Friday, May 3rd. It's going to be a blast. And the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey is my happy place for a reason, and the reason is that they've got amazing specials. They've got their midweek specials for June. You're going to want to take advantage of these. We have our next live show in June coming up June 21st. So you could stay at the Grand Hotel midweek and save big. And the more you stay, the more you save. You get resort credits. And you can use the resort credits how you want to use them. At Hemingway's Restaurant for great drinks and food. At the outdoor pool bar. I should also mention their pool is huge and it's heated outside. You can use it at the beach concession stand. Or take your family on a whale-watching boat cruise. You stay three nights, you're going to get $60 a night in resort credit. Stay five nights, get $70 a night in resort credit. Stay seven nights and get $80 a night in resort credit. Always book direct with the Grand for the best rates. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower. With four ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call and ask to talk to my friend Caitlin, and she will help you have your dream event. To book your stay today at the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, call 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. Grandhotelcapemay.com. You will definitely want to be there for this. It's a great place to be this summer. It's my favorite place, my happy place. And you'll take in the ocean air and you'll make lifetime memories with your family and friends. The perfect place to de-stress. Grandhotelcapemay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.